Now, how does that? Is that better? Thank you. I knew there was a problem. I just didn't know it was what it was. I'm always the problem. You can ask Laura. She can fill you in on all of that. And but I want you to see, God shaped us for something. I want you to know God shaped you. God gave you certain abilities and certain personalities. He shaped me, and he missed some things, okay, at least in my mind. I can't spell. Some of you know that, really. I see over here that, you know, they're shaking their head. Yeah, you know, they see the bulletin, and fortunately, you know, she tuck it over. Did I spell everything right up there? Oh, yeah. Yeah. God didn't give me that. I didn't have that skill, but God shaped me for different things, and he shaped you for different things. And so I need somebody who can spell well to help me, you know. And that's what we need to understand. We're all shaped to help one another. We're all shaped to fit in together. We're all part of this belonging, all part of this becoming, all part of this being loved together. And this is what God wants for us. He has a great scripture to give us that picture. Look at what the scripture says. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Go ahead and back up. It's my fault. Man, this is a fun morning. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. You got that word? Why don't you circle workmanship? I'm going to stop right there because that's what he shaped. You are uniquely shaped. You are made by the hand of God. I do not believe there is a such thing as an accidental child. There may be unplanned children. There may be accidental parents, but there is no accidental child. God has shaped every child. God has shaped you. We are the workmanship. We are handcrafted by God. You are handmade by God. I was reading the paper this week, and it's real interesting. Some scientists, I forget what college, they're doing studies, and they're saying that man came from dirt. Let's see. God took the dust of the earth and formed. Whoa, you guys are catching up with God. I mean, it's really, I'm serious. These scientists at school, these colleges are finally saying, yeah, you came from dirt. Well, I knew that before they did. Because I believe God's word. But God shaped us and he formed us. And we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to serve, to minister, to be a part, to help others. And there's all sorts of ways to do it. And that's what God called us to do. And that's what God has asked us to do. We're created not just to breathe. And I'm going to tell you, not like scientists say, you're just a piece of carbon. You got to decrease your carbon footprint. You know, don't waste oxygen. That's not here. God shaped us. We're all special. We're all unique. We're handmade by God, and he wants us to do something. And it's not about us. It's not being about me and my self-centered and selfishness. If I'm left to my own ways, it's all about me. Yeah. It's what I want, what I like, when I want, how I want. Anybody getting that? If we have trouble in my marriage, if Laura and I have a disagreement, you know what? Most of the time it's over. It's over what I want. Because I want what I want when I want it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Because I want it. Yeah. And that's the challenge for us. See, that's how our lifestyles, but God says, you're not created for that. You're created to share. You're created to give. You're created to bless others. And that's that challenge for us. And so I put it this way. My life calling is to be a bivocational minister of Jesus. Now, by means, anybody got an idea? I see somebody hold up two fingers. Yeah. By means, too. What I'm saying is you have two jobs. You have a job to make your bills, to pay your bills. Anybody got a job to pay bills? Anybody got a vocation? Anybody got a job you have to work at? Yeah. You have those jobs. I think, we got a lot of unemployment. I better call. Man, nobody's ready to be. Unemployment must be really high-rocket right now, skyrocketing. You guys have jobs, right? Anybody? Anybody? All right, now I see some hands. All right. Now, you got a job, and you make some money that way. But here's the challenge. You have another job. You have a job to serve others. Everyone has that job. We're bivocational. I have a job to earn some income to pay my bills, to put a roof over my head and clothes on my back and food on my table and provide for my family, just as you do. We all have those jobs. But I also have a job. And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. You know which job has more meaning to me? You know which job has more passion? You know which job has more fulfillment? It's not the job to make money that brings the joy in life. It's the other job. It's that idea of serving others and being a part of others. And we have a biblical word. I'm going to give you a biblical word. You might want to write this word down. This is the Bible word for it. It's called minister. We are called to minister to one another. We're called to the ministry. You have a job for a career, and you have a job for a ministry. Does that make sense? And that ministry is how you give yourself away. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to get more time in your life and more meaning out of your life when you minister than you ever do when you work and when you make money. And that's that challenge that God has had. Look at what it says. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, both jobs, whatever you do, you know, I don't care if you volunteer in the nursery and you're changing a dirty diaper, that is a great ministry because I don't want to do it. I had my share when my kids grew up. I don't think I've changed. I try to avoid changing diapers now. You know, I'm glad all my grandchildren are potty trained. You know. But changing diapers, picking up garbage. You know, serving others, being a part of that. There's little things we can do. I walk through the Costco parking lot and I see some people who are mature in age and they're wrestling with things, trying to put them in their car. And I'll stop and ask. I remember one lady, she had her walker and she had walked out and she's trying to get her walker in and she's fighting with the walker. And it's like, I stopped, can I help you? You know, and I help her fold her walker up and she's putting it in the back seat of her car. Martha puts hers in her trunk and you got to do it the right way. I keep forgetting the right way. She always got to explain to me how to do it. You know. But I seen the lady. I walk out of Lowe's, there'll be somebody wrestling with something, trying to put it in their truck. And I'll stop and say, hey, can I help you? You know what most of them say most of the time? No. Then I say, are you sure? And then they go, well, yeah, I could, yeah, okay, I could use the help. Just little things like that that people see. You know, just how do we serve? Whatever you do, however you do it. And here's what I want to say. God has his grace for it. Look at this next scripture. God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve. Why don't you circle that? He called me to serve him. God called you to serve. And it's the most rewarding thing in life. How many of you, if I ask you to stand up and say, when do you feel the best in your life? Is it not when you give yourself away? Is it not when you do something for somebody else? When somebody else needed something, when somebody else was there, and you just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and you were there to help, to serve, to bless, to be a part. Isn't there some kind of reward for that? See, that's part of what God's called us. That's one of the purposes in life, that God wants us to serve, to bless others. And that's the challenge that we need to have. And so I want us to, you know, when you cross that line, hear me talk about this line that you cross to become a child of God. And you hear me share this all the time that, you know, a Christian isn't somebody who's walked an aisle somewhere. And a Christian isn't somebody who's born in a Christian home. And a Christian isn't somebody who's, you know, just been baptized. A Christian is somebody who's reached that point in their life. They're kind of at this crossroads and they're going, you know, God, my life isn't where I want it to be, and I'm not doing and I'm not living the way I want. My life is just not rewarding and not fulfilling. There's got to be something more to life. And you get to this crossroads in life, and there's this line, and you go, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. And you pray a prayer along those kind of lines, and you give your life to God. When you make that decision to become a child of God, to become belong to his family, he's not only calling you to belong, he's calling you to bless and to serve and to minister to others. And that's what he's calling us to do in our lives. And when you do that, what I want to tell you, there's going to be some things in your life that only comes from there. There's some things that you really want in life that's only going to come when you bless others. You can make all the money in the world you can have. You can have the biggest home, the newest car. You can have the greatest success, the most prestige, to be the most popular person. You can have all those things and still not achieve four things in your life. And these four things really come when you give your life away. These four things really come when you're unselfish and you share your life. These four things really happen and bring you fulfillment and meaning in life when you give your life away, when you serve, when you bless. So I want to just give you those. Here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to preach real quick, all right? You can tell I'm talking fast. I'm going to preach real fast because this is a different kind of message. If you notice, there are some tables in the hallway. And I want you guys to plug in. I want you guys to be a part of what God is doing. You can't imagine, some of you have been here a while, you know that I'm saying this is a short message. I've said that in the past, and they weren't very short. We're going to try. You know, because I want you to plug in. I want you to be a part of what God, I want you to be blessed. In order to be blessed, you got to be a blessing. But here's four things that you're going to have that if you do and if you bless others. If you're looking at your outline, serving others unselfishly will create joy in my life. If you want joy in your life, you want just an enormous amount of joy, you want some overflowing joy, you need to serve others. There's just that joy comes. There's that scripture, I don't have it up here to post to you, but you've quoted it in the past, I'm sure some of you had. It's more blessed than you guys knew it. See, you guys know the Bible, didn't even know it. Yeah. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There's more joy. I don't know about you, it's getting close to Christmas. When you got kids and you got grandkids, what's the greatest thing? Is it getting presents for them or seeing their faces when you give it to them? Isn't that the joy? See, it's that giving. There's more joy in this giving. There's more joy in sharing these things. And you know, it's not about possessions, and it's not about positions, and it's not about pleasure. It's not about salary. It's not about sex. It's not about success. It's not about status. It's not about any of those things. You know, we think if we just have a little more money, I'd be happy. If I just had this, you know, you go to Costco and you buy that new 60-inch TV, and you're walking out and you're just so happy. Anybody? You're just so happy you got this new TV. You can't wait. You're going to hang it on the wall. You get home, you put it on the wall, and you're just so happy. The end of the month comes, and the American Express bill comes and says, oh, I got a bill. The joy just went, vroom. See, we think that, you know, I get, you know, the new car, you know, the new house. We think all this stuff makes joy in our life, and it's not that. See, the joy comes when we give things away. When you've shared, when you've blessed, when you've helped, when you've served, when you've ministered, that's where the joy comes from. Listen, Paul's one of these great examples. Look at what Paul says. He says, my life is being poured out as part of a sacrifice and service I offer to God for your faith. He's saying, look, I'm sacrificing, I'm serving, I'm giving my life away. I'm laying my life on the altar for God, you might say. I'm just blessing others, I'm serving others, I'm ministering to others. And then I like this word, yet. It's like, I'm sacrificing, I'm serving, I'm laying everything on, I'm working hard, I'm paying the price, yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with all of you. He's saying, as I'm giving my life away, there's just a joy that bubbles up in me. There's just something in me that just overflows, and there's this joy. And that challenges our world today. Because, see, you watch TV commercials. Anybody watch TV? You watch these commercials? What's the commercials tell you? You're number one. It's all about you. Have it your way. Isn't that what commercials tell you? You know, it's all about our self-centeredness, about our selfishness, about what we want, and we want it now, and how we want it, and you know, and we go out, and we try for all these things, and it's like, wait a minute. That's not where the joy is. You know, I like those commercials. Go for the gusto. It's like, yeah, that's, go for the gusto, wake up in the morning and hug the porcelain. That is really fun. You know, there's joy in that, sure. You know, there's joy, but the joy comes when you're sharing, when you're serving. We did Serve Salida. And love Salida, and we mowed the alley back here and cleaned the alley, and we cleaned up, people cleaned the parks and worked at the library, and we did all sorts of things cleaning up Salida. I'm going to tell you, when you got done, there was just something about, we went over and had hot dogs afterwards. And there was just joy and talking and sharing, because there's something about giving yourself away. Get at God's word. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are, why don't you circle these, unselfish and considerate in all you do. You want unselfish and considerate. Serve others unselfishly, considerately. You know what I found interesting? I looked at these two words, or I seen these two words, miser and miserable go together. Did you notice that? Look at the words, miser, miserable. It's the same root word. You want to be miserable, be a miser. It's all about you. And you'll be miserable. There'll be something missing in your life, and there's something there. You got to shift that focus off of you. You want joy, shift the focus off of you. Give yourself away. Look at what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. Forget about yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. I like the way that said it. Forget about yourself. Find a place to fit in. Find a place to give yourself away. Find a place to share. Find a place to minister. You want to be happy? Be helpful. You want to have joy? Share your life. And God will bless that. And so, see, there's one thing money can't buy. Money can't buy happiness. Anybody ever heard that one before? Money won't buy you joy. The new TV at Costco won't do it either. The new car, the bigger home, the better job, the raise. None of that's going to bring you, for momentarily, that long lasting, it won't. You want joy, give your life away. Look at this, that's the first secret, isn't it? Man, I'm going through this quick, aren't I? The first secret is to get rid of my focus. The second secret is to help others. To help others. You got to help others. You got to serve others. Look at God's word. God has given each of you some special ability. Be sure to use them to make $1 million, to buy a bigger home, and a newer car. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. I better get my glasses adjusted here. God has given each of you special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. Be a blessing. Use your skill. Share it with others. Do something for your neighbor. Be a part. I walk here all the time, and we have some neighbors that live on the corner. And they're of another nationality, another ethnic group. I don't know. I think they're from India. I really don't know where they're from. They got the long attire. They wear this different attire. And nobody really on the block ever talks to them. And I say hi as I go by, but the last couple of times I walk by, they've had the lights on in the car. Here's what's really interesting. They hardly ever said anything when I'd walk by, but I'm walking by the other day, and the lights were on this car in front of their house, and so I went up, knocked on the door, and said the lights were on. Now when I walk by, you know what? They say hi to me now. They weren't saying a word to me, but I just stopped. It's like, well, their lights are on. Too bad. Boy, they're going to have fun when they get out and start that car. No, I stopped. I was on my way to church. It's like, And I knocked on the door. That wasn't much. But you know how much of a help that was when you walk out and your car don't start? Yeah. Did it again the other day. Hey, your lights are on again. They were walking into the house. Same car. Yeah. But now when I walk by, they at least respond. They at least smile. There's some recognition there. See, what about others? I've shared with you, I mow my neighbor's yard. Or I used to. She got a boyfriend. Now he mows mine. That was fun. I mowed her yard, and now she got a boyfriend. Now he mows her yard, and when he mows her yard, he mows mine. Yeah. Serve others. It was like, all right, I don't have to mow my yard. But now he's working up in Sacramento, so I got to mow my yard again. You got to help others. See, there's a joy in that. There's something about serving others. And it's just the little things. I've shared with you when my neighbor lost her job, and she wanted me to fax resumes all over the place. So she'd bring me her resume, and I'd put it in my machine, and I'd fax her resume out for her to all these different places. She'd give me a list of them, and I'd just, okay. Whatever you can do to serve others. Little things. It's like, well, that's no, just something. Find some way to serve. Is there a neighbor that needs something? I was sharing with Don earlier, and he's talking about that. I got the email from him. Where's Dan? I got some good stuff for Dan. And the widow's ministry. And we were talking in our home group about serving some of the seniors in our church that some of that deep cleaning, vacuuming that they can't get done. And just different things that fix the faucets. I remember I've been fixing faucets, and how about changing water filters? And there's all sorts of things some of the seniors need. I was sharing. I remember I went and seen my great aunt, and she was in her late 80s, and I was back there with my dad. I was in my 40s, and she's going. She needed a little help around the house, so my dad and I were doing a few little things. He's in his 60s. I'm in my 40s. So we're doing a few little things around the house, and as I'm doing, I'm going, well, where's her kids? And then I realized, well, her kids are in their 70s, so no wonder her kids aren't here doing it. Yeah. We need to think about these kind of things, and it's not about us. See, there's joy in that. So there's joy. You want joy? Serve others. Minister to others. Bless others, and you'll be blessed. The second one is I'll improve my relationships. If I unselfishly give, I'll improve my relationships. Most of us have some troubling relationships. Anybody here got every relationship you have is really A-okay, great, man. I got a good relationship with everybody. Most of us have some relationships that's struggling in our lives. There's usually some areas in our lives, some family, some extended family, some neighbor, some co-worker, somebody in our life that's I'm going to preach a series coming up after this, at the beginning of next year, called You Make Me Crazy. And I'm going to have some fun with that. You know, but we all have those kind of relationships. Well, I'm going to tell you how to change that. Serve them. Serve them. It makes a difference. It changes everything. You can improve your relationship by serving others. When you meet somebody's need, when you're there with them. But the problem is we're just so self-centered. It's about us and what we want. I like the scripture. Look what it says. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. That's what brings contention. I want it my way, when I want it, and how I want it. Yeah. Anybody ever go out and order a steak? Anybody ever order a steak? You go out and order a steak? How do you want it? Some people, you want it burnt, right? Some like a little red. Not raw. Some of you might want it raw. I had a lady one time that ate raw hamburger. She'd put it on the grill, flip it over one time, and it was done. It's like, ah. Yeah. I wouldn't sit at the table when she ate. Yeah. But they all eat different. We all like, you know. But most of us, you know, it's like, ah. But when they don't bring it right, how do you react? Relationships. You know, I'm serious. When I go out to restaurants, I'm going to tell you something. I tip well. Just so if you're a waitress somewhere, you want to serve me, all right? Because Laura and I'm serious. We tip well. I really believe in that. You know, I believe, and I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian and you go out on Sundays, if you don't tip well, you are a poor witness. I'm going to tell you. You know, because we need to be a good witness. And see, when we serve others, how do we treat those that are around us? How do we treat those who serve us? We need to be like Jesus. Isn't it pretty nice to look at Jesus? Your attitude must be like my own. I did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. He came to serve. See, the problem is we get attitude. We get ego. It's about me. When I go out to restaurants, I'm paying for that food. I've had people tell me that. I've never forgot when I went to a meeting one time, and these are preachers or kids who are going to graduate seminary. We're in a conference for new preachers down in Fresno. We go out, and they put us in a hotel, and they paid for the hotel, and they're paying for our food. So we ate at the restaurant at the hotel. And so we sat down, and we all order, and the problem was there was one waitress, and about 30 of us walked in at one time, plus the other clientele that were there. And there's one waitress. And I could not believe the way some of the guys were acting. It's like, we got to get out of here. Just very disrespectful, in my opinion. And so I was insulted by them. So my friends and I, there was four of us, we came back later that night. And we came back and sat down and ordered ice cream. And then talked with her and shared with her. And just tried to encourage her because we were insulted by some of the behavior. And she said, well, I called my boss and told him what happened. He goes, well, you just got to deal with it. He wouldn't bring anybody else in. And it was a bad situation. Relationships. How do we serve one another? How do we help one another? Is it to be served or is it to serve? Are we going to give? Are we going to take? Look at what God's scripture says. If you serve Christ in this way, you will please God and be respected by people. You want more respect in life? You want to be more popular? You want to have more honor in life? I'll tell you what you do. Serve others. And you'll gain respect. Serve others. Minister to others. Help others. And you'll gain honor. That's the truth. That's what it says here. You're going to be blessed when you do that. Look at the next one. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed by those who help others are helped. Those who help others are helped. See, the more you bless, the more you're going to get blessed. The more you help, the more you're going to get helped. The more you minister, the more there's going to minister to you. See, God's there to do this. It's kind of like, you ever hear this thing? You reap what you sow. Anybody ever hear this thing? You reap what you sow. Anybody ever hear that? You reap what you sow. I'll give you a hint. You know, if you sow a seed, what do you get? Do you get more seeds or do you get a tree? You want to get a tree. Sow your seeds, and you reap more than you sow. Is that true? I can sow one apple seed and I'm going to get a bunch of apples, right? Yeah. Sow your seeds and you'll be blessed. That's what the scripture's telling us. Yeah. Ron, it's about watermelon. Sow one watermelon seed. You get one more than one. When you get one watermelon, you get more than one watermelon on one watermelon seed. See? Yeah. Pumpkin's the same way too? All right. Take your seeds. You'll get more if you just plant one little seed. One little ministry, one little help, one little service, one little assistant, one little blessing. Push a bunch of blessings in your life. See, that's that relationship set we get in. That's what God wants. Look again at God's word. Proverbs 17:11. You do yourself a favor when you're kind. You do yourself a favor when you're kind. Look at the next one. A generous man will himself be blessed. You want better relationships, serve others. If you're struggling in a relationship, you know that guy you're mad at, the guy that's mad at you, the guy you're having the hardest time with, serve him. I guarantee you, it will change over time. It will make a difference over time. Let's go on, number three. When you're unselfish and you serve others, it makes my life meaningful. It makes my life meaningful. It brings meaning to life. I'm not just passing through this world. Most of us don't want to just pass through this world. Most of us want to have a meaning in life. And that meaning comes from ministry. That meaning comes from service. Look at what it says. Mark 8:35. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. True life. Meaning doesn't come from money. Meaning doesn't come from the car you drive, the house you live in, the neighborhood you're at. Meaning doesn't come from that position you have. Meaning comes from that ministry, that serving others, that giving of yourself, that sharing, that blessing. That's where meaning in your life comes from. You want to have meaning, then you give your life away. If you don't give your life away, you're going to have no meaning in life. Look at what it says here. Always give yourself fully, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. Don't be half-hearted. Fully, totally committed. Not empty. That word wasted is empty and useless. You want a life with meaning, give your life away. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not what I want, when I want, and how I want it, and I want it today. It's about how I can share and how I can give and how my life has meaning because of what I am doing and serving others. And that's a passion of mine. It's my heart. I'm on the school board, and I'm on all these things because I want to have meaning in life, and I want to bless others, and I have dreams and visions. And I see that happening in people's lives. And you want meaning in life, then give it away. Bless others. Meaning comes from ministry, and you'll have meaning. Look at the last one. Unselfishness leaves a legacy. When you bless, when you serve, when you minister, it leaves a legacy. See, you're going to leave a mark in two places. Your life's going to have a mark in two places. You're going to have a mark here on earth, and you're going to have a mark in heaven. You got two places to leave a mark. Your mark on earth doesn't last very long. Studies have shown that three generations after you're gone, you're forgotten. Did you know that? Three generations after you're gone, you're forgotten. Now, some of us do our genealogy, and we found a lot more. You know, I know who they are, but I don't know a lot. But you're forgotten. Three generations. You're going to leave a mark here, but you can make a mark. You can be a blessing. You can serve. You know, I tell you all the time, you go to the schools, and some on the school board, my names are on those plaques at school. Some of you are secretary, some of you have been around the school. Take a kid out there and say, you know those names? They're going to go, I don't know who they are. That's really meaningful, isn't it? That's really a legacy. Yeah. But when you serve and you give your life and you help, yeah. I go back and I'm thinking these last few days and the last few weeks, I've been thinking about my grandparents and the legacy they left in my life. My grandma, the one I used to go see in Placerville, and my other grandmother, and I think about what they've meant to me and how they blessed me. Yeah. I can remember, and I've shared this, I remember when my mom's mom would, Laura and I would go see them. We're off in college. We'd drive up to Sacramento and go over and see them, and I want to get pictures with them holding my kids so I can have, you know, some memories with them. And we'd walk out. My grandma says, "We're praying for you. We're praying for you." Then you're going off to college and you're sitting to be a preacher. And my grandma and my grandpa, she would always say, "We're praying for you." And then I can remember years later, after I'd finished college, I'd been pastoring here. And it's been, 15, 20 years after that. And I'd drive by the Methodist convalescent home up there in Sacramento. I'd whip in and go see my grandmother and my grandparents. And I'd sit there and visit with them for a few minutes. And now I'm getting up, and guess what? They're not saying, and she's not saying anymore, "I'm praying for you." It's my turn. And I'm telling my grandma and I'm telling my grandpa, I'm praying for them as they were in that convalescent home. And things had changed. I look at that legacy she left in my life. I've shared with you many times how I thought my crazy grandma, the one in Placerville, she was different. And I think about every time I got in the car, we were going to go down the hill, we were going to go to the grocery store, just down the hill to go to the mailbox that's way down the hills. And we'd get in the car, and every time we got in the car, she'd pray. Now, when you're 13 years old, 14 years old, and church ain't nothing, all right? Church was nothing. Church was for nerds and jerks. And you're getting in the car with your grandma, and every time she prays, it's like, "Grandma, come on, just turn the car on. I'm 15. Let me drive it." But now I look back over that. I think of the impression my grandma left on my life because of that little activity, just praying in the car. Every time you got in, she'd pray. We'd go pick pears in the morning, and it's sun. You had to be out there to pick pears, so you get out there in the orchard, so as soon as you could see the yellow on the tree. Anybody remember things like this? Am I that old? As soon as we're out in that orchard, we're waiting, and you had to be in the orchard when it's dark. And as soon as you could see that yellow pear on the tree, you're climbing your ladder to start picking, and you picked until you couldn't see any more pears. But we'd have lunch, and we'd be praying over lunch. And it's like I said, I was 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, and this crazy grandma. But now, that has meaning to me. It's a special place. Do you want to leave a legacy? It's about serving. It's about giving. It's about blessing. It's about ministering to others. It's not about us. It's about what we share. But there's not only a blessing here on earth. There's a blessing in heaven. See, we're going to leave a mark in heaven. Let me give you a little hint. There's only two things that go to heaven. Did you know that? God's word and people. That's it. You want to leave a mark in heaven, you're going to have to make a mark on people's lives here. That's how you get those marks in heaven. It's God's word, and you put God's word in their heart. Look at what it says. Good people will be remembered as a blessing. Proverbs 10:7. Good people, remembered as a blessing. Are you a blessing? Are you blessing others? Are you sharing with others? Serving, ministering, sharing with others. That's what we're going to be known for. Look again at God's word in Matthew 20. If you want to be great, you must be a servant of all the others. If you want to be great, be a servant. Look at it again, Hebrews chapter 6. God is fair. He will not forget the work you did and leave you showed for him by helping his people. I really messed that up. He will not forget the work you did and the love you showed for him by helping his people. And he will remember that you are still helping them. Are we serving others? Again, look at God's word. My Father will honor anyone who serves him. You want to leave a legacy? Are you serving others? Anybody here ever hear of a lady named Mother Teresa? Anybody? Anybody hear of a lady named Mother Teresa? Okay, I see some hands out there. Mother Teresa. You know what she was known for? She goes to Calcutta, and she walks the streets of Calcutta, and she sees forgotten, abused people. A class system in that country, the forgotten. And she sees them, and she starts helping them. She starts serving them. She starts ministering to them, to the outcast, to the down and out, to the forgotten, to the abused, to the misused. She serves. But she made a difference. You know what? She's the one that spoke before Congress. By serving to the least, by serving to the forgotten, by serving to the abused, she made an impact in people's life, not because of prestige and not because of power and not because of position, but because of service, because of ministry. She got to speak in front of the United Nations. And all she did was serve. She blessed others. What a legacy. See, I want to challenge us. Will we leave a legacy? Now, more than likely, none of us are going to win the Nobel Prize. All right? At least, I don't expect to. I don't expect to read a Pulitzer Prize either, especially with my spelling. Yeah. We're not going to achieve those kind of honors. But you know what? I can have honor with God when I serve others, when I bless others, when I give myself away. See, you got a choice to make. You can spend your life, you can waste your life, or you can invest your life. And it's your choice. It's up to you. And so I want to challenge you, and I want to be a church. I want this place to be a place that we not only bless one another, we bless our world because we're giving ourselves away. That's what I want our church to be, and I want to challenge us to do that. And so we're going to have a little time today, and we got some tables set up out there, and there's children's ministry people out there, and there's going to be preschool ministry people out there. There's stuff about Love Salida out there. There's all sorts of stuff out there. There's even a John out there. I'm going to give Evie a bad time. You know, somebody's got to clean those Johns, you know, and all sorts of good stuff out there. I want you to plug in. I want you to be a part. Because here's this memory verse we have. You see it there? We got to work on it, right? How are you guys doing with yours? This is our fourth one, right? Everybody got them? I'm not going to try. I did it earlier. I'm going to encourage you to memorize those verses. I can tell you, Isaiah 44:2. You guys got that one? All right. You guys got that one? How about Romans 6? See, I got it. Ephesians 2. What's the other one? Ephesians 2:19. This is 2:10 this time. So this is this one. Are you guys, now what we do, some of you are here for your first time, what we do is we say the address or the reference, we say it first at Ephesians 2:10. Then we say the verse. And then if I remember, we say the last reference again. I forgot it last week. I'm not going to forget it this week. I want us to memorize. This is a great verse. I do know this verse, all right? I've got this one down, all right? So let's do this verse together. I expect everybody to participate. So we're going to say the reference, the verse, the reference. So here we go. You ready? Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. I did it again. Woo! All right. We got it, though. All right? Learn that. This is an awesome verse. I love this verse because I want to tell you, you are no accident. You're handmade by, I believe every life is a gift of God. Every life is handmade. And I breathe, God breathed into our nostrils a breath of life. And every life receives the soul from the breath of God. I believe that. And we're crafted and we're made to do something. Everybody's made to do something. Little things, not to be the big things, but to serve God. And so here's my challenge for you this morning. In your worship folder is a pink piece of paper. I want you to get that pink piece of paper out. If you do not have one, this is a surprise for Ernie. If you do not have a bulletin, then you need this pink piece of paper. Everybody needs this pink piece of paper, Ernie. So get the ushers, Jim, and anybody that doesn't have a pink, if you don't have a pink piece of paper, raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. If you don't have one of the pink pieces of paper, raise your hand. I got the ushers, they're ready to get. Come on. I can't believe everybody's got one. All right, all right. I want you to fill that out. Right now, put your name on it. See what it says? I want you to put your name on it. I want you to put your name on it. I want you to put your email address. I want you to put your phone number on it. Fill that out, all right? I want you to fill that out. I'm going to do something. You're going to, wait. You're going to do something with that, not me. I want you to do something with that in a few minutes. All right, I want you to fill that out. Because what I want you to do is this. We're going to walk out of this place in a little while. We're going to sing one more song or two more songs. We're going to finish up. And then we're going to walk out and you're going to go in that hallway out there and you're going to see what some people are doing. And I want you to find some way you can plug in. I want you to find some way you can bless someone else. There's all sorts of stuff out there. You know what? Here's another idea. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. If you walk out there and there's nothing you see out there, I want you to turn that paper over and write something on it that you're wanting to do to serve God. And then you bring it back in here and put it up here because I'll collect them. All right? We got some things we're trying to do. Sean has already talked about it. I want to adopt this school over here. And we took some paper stuff and we served the school already. We got that nice letter from them. We're right next to the school. I want to bless that school. But I want to bless those kids. You know, I don't know if they need coats. I don't know if they need shoes. I don't know when school starts, if they need backpacks. I want us to do that kind of stuff for that school. And Sean's offered to step up and help and lead that. So there might not be a table out there for that, but you might say, I want to help Sean. All right? You might want to say, I want to help Crystal. There might not be a table out there for that food pantry. We collect all that food out there to take to the food pantry. But somebody's got to take care of that and deliver it to the food pantry. And you might say, I want to do that. I don't know. Maybe you have a great idea. Maybe God's laid something on your heart. I don't know. Maybe you want to be part of a widow's ministry. You know, maybe you have a heart that says, you know what, I can vacuum a carpet or I can serve somebody. And you say, I want to help over here. Just let me know what God wants you to do. But I want you to go out there. Here's what you're going to do when we get done. I want you to go out there and walk down the hall. And I want you to give that pink piece of paper to one of the leaders out there at one of those tables. Saying, yeah, I'll work with you on Love Salida. I'll work with you on cleaning the church up. We need to keep this church clean. God blessed us with this. We need to keep it clean. Right now, Evie cleans it up and I walk around on Saturday night or Friday and I gather up all the garbage. And gather up all the garbage. I go in there and dump all the garbage cans. That's your pastor. Is that my job? Yep. Because I'm the minister. One of you guys. You know how many ministers this church has? I'll tell you how many ministers this church has. You will not believe how many ministers this church has. Every Christian is a minister. So I want you to look around the place. Because every one of you are ministers. That's how many we got. All right? Look at the army we got for God right here. I want to turn Salida upside down. I want to make a difference here. I want people to know that we love them and we care for them. I want them to know that God has empowered us and called us, and we want to bless them because I really believe this. I believe if we love on them, we cannot keep them from coming to this place and finding Jesus Christ. I believe that. And so I want you to plug in. I don't know, maybe you got your own idea. I mean, like I said, one of our home groups is talking about doing ministry to the seniors and just kind of going and helping them clean their carpet and that kind of thing. I was at my dad's house the other day, and the bathtub needed cleaning. My dad's 80 and my mom has issues. She's not well. And so I looked in the bathtub and it's like, my mom would have never left that like that. You know? And so there's people that need help. Maybe you want to do that kind of a ministry. I'm excited because Dan's taking that kind of service. I'm going to throw it all on Dan to kind of lead that. He's our associate pastor and he's going to deal us in service and lead us in this. But I don't know what God is calling you to do. So I want you to take that paper. You got two things you can do with it. You can either give it to somebody out there and say, I'll help with the children. I'll help with the preschoolers. I'll help clean the church. I'll help with Love Salida. I'll help with the worship team. I'll help with whatever's out there. Or you can write on the back and say, I feel led to, and bring it and set it up here so I can pray for you and give you a chance. I want you to do that. And when you do that, I want you to honor God. So get involved and be a part. So you cross that line. You want meaning in life. You want better relationships. You want joy. You want a legacy. Give your life away. And you cannot believe what God can do and bless you as you do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you not only saved us, but you saved us to serve. Lord, I pray for these that are here right now. Lord, we're going to walk out these doors in just a few moments, and I pray they don't just walk out and walk into their cars and drive off. Lord, that they'll find a place to plug in to serve, that they can find a meaning for their life and a purpose for their life and an assignment and a reason to be here, Lord, that they're not just a piece of carbon that the scientists say we need to reduce our carbon footprint, that they are handmade by you, chosen by you. Before they were born, you say you knew them and you formed them. And you've gifted them in the talents and skills and a heartbeat and experiences, Lord, that they have, that you've placed in their hearts. I pray that they find a place that we can be a funnel, Lord, that it doesn't end here, that we're not an end here. It's not all about serving the building, but it's about serving our community. Lord, that we can love the widows and the orphans, that we can minister to the down and out and the outcast and the forgotten in our community. Lord, that we can see people like you see them. And when we do, serve them because you love them as you loved us. Use us, Lord, in a mighty way in your hand to bless In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to challenge you to be a blessing. I'm going to pray right now. I mean, we're going to have an invitation. Invitation is your opportunity to respond to God. I'm here to pray with you. Maybe you've been wrestling. Maybe something I said has touched your heart. Maybe there's something you've been running from. I don't know. Maybe you've never crossed that line of salvation. You know, again, I'm going to tell you, it's not about walking a mile and saying I'm a Christian or born in a Christian home or getting baptized. I was baptized as a baby. That's not going to make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is a simple confession. It's this simple thing saying, God, I'm just tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what a